Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, where Andy Schmidt and I talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. And this week, depending on when you're listening to this, recently there was a post on Twitter from Jimmy Palmiotti, writer, editor, raconteur Jimmy Palmiotti. That's Twitter, twitter.com/jpalmiotti, that I thought was interesting and kind of kicked off.
Oh, come on, spell that out for people.
What, J? J. That's, it's...
Yeah, it's at J-P-A-L-M-I-O-T-T-I, J Palmiotti, on Twitter.
I figure with the 50,000 followers, people might know who Jimmy is.
They might.
Well, Jimmy, if you don't know who Jimmy is, Jimmy's got just a great body of work behind him, stuff that he's written for the big two companies, for Marvel and DC, as well as a number of independents, as well as a number of books that he's kickstarted and kind of controlled all aspects of, and also famously rebooted a lot of Marvel stuff. Gosh, this must be 20 years ago now for Marvel Knights.
Yeah, almost exactly. And a little bit more. Yeah. But he was part of Marvel Knights. He was a big part of Marvel Knights.
Yeah. Well, specifically what I thought was interesting this week, and if you do follow Jimmy or you don't follow Jimmy, you might not know that he's always very straightforward about the industry and willing to share a lot of information. And that he had a post about comic book writers, and this was dated on February 20th, and it's about what a writer could make working for a big two company on a book. He's talking about what you're going to make, and he's talking about what you're going to have to think about how your money works. And that's something that I know we discuss it here on the show, but you don't often see that a lot, where creators are being super transparent and giving you kind of a breakdown of, hey, by the way, have you thought about health insurance? Hey, by the way, have you thought about if you're going to be putting anything into a 401k or some sort of IRA? And that I know we're going to talk about budgeting on a later episode. That sort of sparked Andy and I having a conversation about, hey, would this be an interesting thing to discuss a little bit more in depth on the show? And Andy, for, you know, comics is so hard to pin down, like, you know, a number of creative services industries, as far as where are you going to get paid for what you're doing. Sometimes that varies wildly, even at the same company. You know, a writer might be paid differently from another writer, somebody who's been writing for Marvel for 20 years versus somebody who's, it's their first year, and your rate's going to vary based on a contract or based on whatever deal you have set up, or maybe you've got an exclusive and you're paid X amount per year to deliver Y pages. And I would think similarly on the artist front. So big picture, what were your thoughts? We just sort of discussed this a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah. Well, in his Twitter essay, which is really awesome. I mean, because what we're going to talk about is mainly page rates, because it's one of the most common questions that I get from people. But what's really, really cool about what Jimmy was posting was he kind of started with, hey, this is what you would expect to make doing like a Marvel or DC book over the course of a year. That's where he started. And he reminds people that if you're not in the top 20, you're probably not getting a royalty off that book. So you're getting your page rate and probably nothing else. But then from there, he goes on and he talks a little bit more about royalties and ownership and insurance and all kinds of really good stuff. He talks about the relationship between you and your clients and why it's important to support creators and all that kind of stuff. And it's a really, really great thing. And it's really honest. And it's one of the things that I've always really, really liked about Jimmy, is just how honest he is about this stuff and how transparent he is. And that's fairly uncommon in, like you said, in any creative industry, and any creative services industry. And part of that is, hey, if I'm making more than you are, I don't want to be braggy about it by talking about it. And if I'm making less than you, I'm not sure I really want to know that because I might not be able to do anything about it. So it's one of those things where, like, I totally understand why it's not talked about a lot, but as somebody trying to break in and somebody new to the industry, it's really difficult to get a handle, based on the information that's out there, of what you're looking at financially, in terms of compensation. So because there's so many different ways to look at how you can get compensated in terms of ownership in a project or a stake in media rights or insurance, health insurance. For the sake of that, let's just assume that we're talking just about the rate you get paid per page you turn in. And let's take insurance, health insurance out of the equation, because it is out of the equation 99% of the time. And let's not discuss royalties, because as Jimmy pointed out, if you're not in the top 20, you're not making royalties. So when you just look at page rates, he specifically says in the first post that kind of kicks this whole thing off, I don't think he says writing, but I think that's what he was talking about to start. But like, if you're writing a book for Marvel or DC, what he says is you're going to make for one book, so assuming 12 issues a year, you're going to make about $48K a year. And later on, some other professionals jump in and say, actually cut that in half. And I think that tends to be true for most creators. Because if you look at $100 per page, which is not the lowest rate at Marvel or DC, but it's far from a high rate. It's you know, if you're doing regular work, if you have an ongoing series, you're probably somewhere in that range. If you look at $100 a page, and most comics are now, 20 pages? They used to be 22. Now they're 20. So you're looking at $2,000 an issue, 12 issues a year, unless you're on one of those 18 issue per year books. You're looking at $24K. And that doesn't include your health insurance. That doesn't include anything else. And you're paying your own taxes, most likely quarterly, and all that kind of stuff. So that's really, I think, probably a more accurate statement, you know, especially for somebody that's on the start of a writing career. And that's also just Marvel and DC. You take one step outside of Marvel and DC, and you're going to see that rate cut in half again, or close to it.
Right.
In most cases, if you're on like a major property, like if you were on the main Star Wars book at Dark Horse when it was there, like, yeah, you'd probably make close to that. I mean, I'm guessing, I don't actually know that for a fact, but you know, or if you were on Aliens when that was a big hit book, then you might make close to that. But for the most part, if you take a step back, you're at IDW or Dark Horse or Boom or Odie, you're looking at less, and in most cases, I think no chances for a royalty, even if the book does do well. If it's a licensed book, I think in most cases, I could be wrong, in most cases there is no royalty, no matter how many units it sells. So that's the bare bones of it. So you're looking at $24,000 if you're doing a book, one book a month writing for like a Marvel or DC. And that's just the math of it. You know, that's in some parts of the United States, you can live all right that way. You know, if you're single,
right.
You know, you can, most people could write a book and hold down a day job. So, you know, that could be something that's on top of what you're making, but I wouldn't recommend trying to live my life off of just that. So, but it's one of the reasons why when I get asked by somebody who's looking to collaborate and say, what is a rate? You know, what's an average rate? There isn't one. There simply isn't one. And that has to do to some degree with all of the different factors that go into establishing what that rate is. And they go from how well you're known, like does your name help sell the books? How much experience do you have? How in demand are you? Obviously the quality of the work, you know, how much of a team player are you? You know, all of these sorts of things go into establishing what that rate might be. So if you're starting out and you're looking for collaborators and you're on a limited budget, I mean, you can go down pretty low, you know, looking for art, you can go down pretty low looking for art, but it's not going to be a big name creator. Obviously it's not going to be somebody maybe with a huge amount of experience behind them. So the range is vast, you know, and that's why it is so difficult you know, I don't have up-to-date information on like what a starting penciling rate is at Marvel and DC, but again, like the writer's rate, it's significantly higher,
right,
than what it's going to be, because most other companies now don't even do penciling and inking as separate rates. They do line art as one rate, and it's not as simple as just like throwing one of those two away, but it, you know, again, you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of half of what Marvel and DC would pay in most cases. So then you go like a step outside of that to where you're doing your own creator own book. You're either not getting paid at all and hoping to get paid on the back end by selling the book and what have you, or you're getting paid by, you know, maybe a writer or somebody else for that art, but maybe you own a piece of it and that's part of your compensation. So rates get really, they get really gray once you get down to one, and I shouldn't say get down to, because a lot of us, myself included, are more interested in doing creator owned work and putting it out that way. You know, the work for hire stuff I do, which is not to say I don't enjoy it. I love a lot of it. I grew up with a lot of these characters, with all of these characters, really. So I really do enjoy it, but that's not always my long-term thing. That sort of helps me fund, you know, stuff that's more personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's why they're so hard. That's why page rates are so hard to talk about. But it's an interesting thing. I think it's probably eye-opening for a lot of people to go, oh, so like at the top, I'm getting $100 per page.
Right. Roughly.
You know, and then it drops pretty fast.
Right.
Once you go out from there. So that does provide a pretty clear picture. And what that opened up conversation wise that Jimmy points out, which is like, I can't stress how much I agree with him, strongly enough.
Right.
But he points out how you have to manage your own career. And he points out how these companies, they tend to do the minimum to keep you happy and keep you satisfied and keep you there. But they're not typically looking out for your best interests. You know, they're not managing your career for you. You have to do that. They're not going to manage your finances for you. You're going to have to do that. And that's not to say that the companies are evil. This is, and there are certainly individuals at any of these companies who are wonderful people and really do care about you as a human being and your well-being. But that doesn't always break through the corporate finance people, if you know what I mean. So he points out how important it is that if you like a creator, to support that creator beyond what they do at Marvel and DC, because if you're supporting their creator owned book, you're really supporting their livelihood. You're supporting their career,
right?
You're supporting, you know, if they can move something into other media, that they can get a piece of that. Now, Marvel and DC both have deals where if you create a new character now, like you get, I don't know exactly what the deal is, I forget, but then probably I shouldn't say I didn't know it, but they, you know, you get a piece of it, you know. So if, you know, a good example is somebody like, you know, Rogue from the X-Men. So the creators of Rogue, you know, get a piece of something if she's in a movie or in a cartoon or something, you know. And those rules were written later. They were written in the 80s, you know, so that wasn't true for some of the other older characters, you know, like the more well-known ones. But that's kind of where they are now. But yeah, page rates, especially if you're trying to do your own creator own book, it's a very difficult conversation to have. Because if I'm a writer and I'm looking for an artist and I see somebody I like, I start a conversation, I'm getting to know them, I'm liking how that's going, and they're digging the book. It isn't as simple as, well, can I pay you $75 a page for the line art, or $100 or $125 or whatever it is? Because there's also, how much time do they have to get it done? There's also, do they have an ownership stake or at the very least a royalty stake? And those three things are the primary ones. There are others too, but those are the primary three levers. And as you pull one down, the other two go up a little bit, right? So if I'm willing to pay you, if I have an artist that if I cut in 50% ownership, he's willing to do the pages, let's say for $80 a page. I'm just throwing it out, throwing numbers out there. Well, if I say to him, well, I really want to have, you know, control. I want to have ownership. I want to bring yours down to 15%. So I have control and I'll get the bulk of this. But now I'm not going to pay you $80 per page. I'm going to pay you $150 per page. They might go for that, right? Because I want more ownership, but I got to pay for it. Or if we are agreed on ownership, it's 50-50, and he's, you know, she's going to need $80 per page. I can't quite afford that on my budget. Maybe if I give her a lot more time to do the work so that she can do higher paying projects along the way, she might come down on that price a little bit so that I'm not, you know, losing my shirt on something that I can't afford. So those are your three big levers when you're like kind of negotiating. But yeah, this is a thing that, you know, and I am of two minds of it. You know, I am in the camp of, I don't want to say what I make on stuff because maybe I make more than you and that's going to make you feel bad. I don't want to make anybody feel bad.
Right.
Maybe I make less than you and I'm an idiot and I don't negotiate well. And then I'm just going to make myself feel bad. I don't really want to do that either. So, you know, and almost all of these things have confidentiality clauses. And that's why I'm not getting into specifics around any of this. Also, to be fair, it's been, you know, a decade since I was on staff at any of these places.
Right.
Little less than a decade, but I know what my rates are when I do work for these companies, and it's difficult. It's just difficult to talk about this stuff. You know, I actually read an article this morning in the New York Times. It was sort of this opinion piece on for kids on why it's so hard to get your parents to tell you how much money they make. And it was a lot of this same sort of stuff. Obviously the dynamics there are different because you're all theoretically part of the same family. So what your parents make kind of does affect you, but you know, it's been sort of a taboo subject for a long time. But there are some benefits if a large part of the comics creative community were to start openly discussing it. I think there would be some benefits that would outweigh the deficits of doing so. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be happy once the dust settles. It means that people are going to get feelings hurt. People are going to get their feathers ruffled. Some people may come out the other side not doing as well. And so that's the other fears. If we talk about this too much and things get more standardized, maybe I'm the one that actually loses part of my page rate.
Right.
So it's all very, it gets very political. It gets very personal. And that's where a lot of that hesitation to have these discussions comes from.
You know, that it is such a wide kind of swath of topics and things to consider if you're just starting to get into it, into comics or into any kind of creative endeavor, and you've been used to working for someone else and not working freelance. It becomes a lot of lessons learned after you go through the process of doing it a few times, in addition to obviously trying to produce creative work in that kind of environment for that kind of dollars. And, you know, you and I are both we could safely say a little bit into our careers. I, of course, am 25 and have only been, you know, out of school for five. No, that's not true. slightly older than 25. But with, you know, with the experience and age does come some amount, you know, from having a day job for, let's call it 20 years, give or take, comes some amount of, you know, dollars investing in outside services to help you figure out what a budget might be or what you might need. You and I both have children. We both have worked for companies that have provided some amount of benefits in the past. We are both currently essentially contract player / freelancer, however you want to term it. My business, my production business, is an S Corp as opposed to an LLC. Shifted a couple years ago to work with some partners. And a lot of what I learned was from paying lawyers to tell me things in that business world. when our daughter was born, we decided to try to figure out a better long game of how to think about our savings and the revenue that, you know, came into our household. So we started meeting with some financial advisors, which also comes with a dollar amount, but you also try to look at the other side and say, okay, well, they're going to help, you know, kind of shape our next 25 to 35 years of working, however long we're going to work, you know, on top of what we're already doing. So it becomes this different perspective in the sense of, well, how much do I need to make a year? And in some ways opened up doing some more comics work to try to figure out, okay, well, I can afford to kind of play this long game with some comic ideas versus, oh, I got to get into comics and it's going to be my only gig and I got to make X amount a year from doing comics. And it opens up some different avenues. What I was really going to go down, I know not everyone can afford or might not be looking for those external services to talk to an accountant or a financial planner. This also might be something for a different kind of discussion or budgeting talk, but I know over the years there's been a couple of websites that I've, one that I've used a decent amount and one that is fairly new to me but has an interesting kind of model. NerdWallet.com is somewhere you can go and essentially look at price comparisons on credit cards, on mortgage rates, on loans, on different kind of investing. And so if you're in the market for, maybe you're looking to buy a house, you can do some comparing and contrasting of what housing might cost or however, you know, whatever you might need to do. They also have different things like cutting down on your bills, getting debt free, how to think about savings. And the other company that I have less experience with, but seems to have a decent regard and you could do some free testing, is called LearnVest. That's LEARNVEST, LearnVest. And they do a decent amount of budget planning that you can opt into, and you can deal with actual financial folks, and their whole thing is, hey, it's a little bit, you know, to get in, get some skin in the game, and we're going to set something up and plan with you. And then after that, there's essentially, you know, monthly reminders of maintenance fees. It's that kind of business model. But for, you know, long-term planning in a freelance life, sometimes those are the things, along with marketing, maybe invoicing, that you push to the back of the line of your priorities for any given day, because so much of what you're trying to deliver is the content. I want to be a better writer. I want to be a better colorist. I want to be a better letterer. I want to be a better artist. I got to work. Look at my awesome work. Oh, I should maybe go on social media and promote myself. Oh, I met that editor at that thing. I should tell him I'm going to be at C2E2. I haven't, you know, looked really into how I can contribute to a Roth IRA, and can I do that for last year up through April 15th? I believe you can. So it becomes all the different, you know, aspects of how do you plan for your life. And I think that, you know, for me, if I had to go back and give me advice starting off my career as a business owner, would be to think about and shape that a little bit differently early on, as best I could. Not that I did a terrible job, but I definitely could have done a better job. And I think that that all kind of goes into the swirl for me when I think about at least what I'm trying to do with comics and how I'm approaching comics is how to kind of look at that dollar and bottom line, you know, and bring that into the perspective of, okay, well, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to do a cool miniseries? You know, is it a cool four issues? Okay, great. What would the budget for that have to be? And how do I think about that? And then, you know, it's not even necessarily just for me. It's also for the collaborators, because, you know, if I'm doing it on the side in addition to my own business as a writer, then I'm doing that a little more off hours and it's not my main source of income. But for a lot of folks who are doing art, it can be their main source of income or one of two, or they're putting in a lot of hours on top of another day job. So figuring out kind of how to best manage your money overall budget, I really do think comes into play with the overall big picture.
That's a ton of advice.
Yeah, I don't know how much is necessarily useful to the listener.
No, some of the I hadn't heard of NerdWallet or LearnVest, so I mean those are new to me. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've been looking at the financial side of things for a long time just to try and make my own way with my wife, and she works full time and we get our insurance through her job, which is extremely helpful. So yeah, and the thing is it doesn't seem like you're ever set with this. And I think that's the thing, is that
right.
is that finding partners who you can follow up with and maintain with is a big thing. We're way off the Patriot topic, but it's good. And to bring this around to, you know, to the creators workshop that we offer through Comics Experience, one of our core values is honesty. And it's one of the reasons why I like following Jimmy on Twitter, and I like talking with him when I see him at conventions and things, is, you know, we provide an honest place, and the Creators Workshop, which is an online forum, and then we have live discussions, you know, a couple times a month on various either craft-based topics or industry-based topics, things like this. And we talk about these things in the forum all the time, and we can talk openly and honestly there because it's a small community, and we can talk about where do you go to find a lawyer to talk to, or what do I even if I found a lawyer, what do I even ask?
Right.
Because a lot of times that's the hardest thing. And so,
how much is it going to cost?
Yes. How much is it going to cost? You know, we can have these discussions. You know, I know myself and some of the other creators on the forums, and we have several pros that are on the forums too. And they all, you know, a lot of them have their, you know, ask, you know, Riley Brown, ask Philip Seavey, ask, you know, Chris Sotomayor, whoever. You know, they have their own dedicated thread where you can ask them questions. And when you get into the finances, you know, the personal finances, you know, different people have different levels of comfort. I'm fairly open. I'm very open about not necessarily what I make, because Lord knows with being freelance and everything, I'm never even sure what I make. But I'm open about how to go about planning, how to go about managing risk, how to go about finding your way, how to go about not getting swindled, how to protect yourself, and how to plan. It's like sort of stage one is protect yourself, and stage two is proactively start planning. You know, when you get to that point in your life where you're like, okay, you know, maybe you're in a committed relationship with somebody and you're thinking, okay, a couple of years from now, we're probably going to want to have a child with us, maybe another one. You know, there's going to be a cat and a dog, and how am I going to, you know, then there's college or there's trade school or there's whatever. Once you start looking at those sorts of plans, figuring out how comics fits in, and comics probably can fit in, but figuring out how that fits in is sort of the goal.
Right.
Like I'm not willing to ever give up working on comics.
Right.
Right. I do. Most of my other work pays better, to be honest, but I do better paying work. I do enjoy it. That would be a lie to say I don't enjoy it. I do enjoy it, but I do that in part so that I can afford to do comics. And so I've worked it into my plan. I can't go 100% make my own comics, pay for the art and the coloring all myself. I mean, money would just be flying out the door. But I can temper it. I can do so much. So a lot of it is about planning. But you know, that's one of the things that I really like about how we at Comics Experience approach how we talk about these things, because honesty is very important. And we try to help people prepare themselves. We can't prepare for you, but we try to arm you with the right questions, the right tools to prepare yourself for whatever the journey with comics ahead of you looks like. And that's what I got.
That's what we got. Well, you mentioned the Creators Workshop. That's a great place, comicsexperience.com, to get some advice and to learn some stuff. The first and only lawyer I worked with in comics came to me through Comics Experience, someone who had worked for Marvel, and that was, you know, a great benefit. And it's in the age of social media and searching for stuff and people, it is always handy to be able to search for people, but to have that direct, oh, this is what you've done, and this is how much it costs, and this is what I'm going to get back, cool, can really take, it can really make things, at least for me, as somebody who sometimes procrastinates with all those unknowns where you start to get into, I don't know what to ask a lawyer. Like you said, you might not know the questions, you might not know how to think about what the responses should be, but once you get into it, and get are able to have that relationship and realize, oh, okay, this is what I get from it. This is how I need to think about it. It does become easier, and you do it better and different the next time around. And there was some upfront time cost and sweat equity and actual cash potentially, but next time there should be less or none. And it really can it can kind of even out. Well, we have teased it a little bit, so we are going to be talking about budgeting and upcoming episodes, and I think that'll, you know, it's one of those topics that may not always be something that you go into thinking about a creative endeavor, like this is the main thing, because you're working on the quick pitch, you're working on the art, you're working on the promo, you're figuring it out with the artist, you're searching for the artist, you're searching for the colorist, you're trying to build out, is this going to be Kickstarter, am I going to pitch it to a company? All those things lead to what's the business plan or vice versa. And you mentioned something just in your own life, how things are kind of ever evolving. And I think a lot of times all the comics planning, it's such a loose thing at times where, you know, a story ending might get changed entirely, where you might introduce characters, where you start writing for the artist's strength, or where you're the artist and you figure out, you know, how you want to tell the story early on, and it kind of changes how the story can go, and all that bleeds into the business plan and how that's going to execute and where that's going to go. In conclusion,
comics. Yeah, I have a couple of announcements. Can I do announcements? Is that cool?
That's fine by me. I think the floor is open.
The first announcement is, hopefully with this episode you have heard like zero clicking. I am now using a stable microphone instead of my headset. So those of you that wrote in complaining about now you're clicking.
No, it wasn't me. It's not my, that was not my mouse.
That was not my fault.
Not my mouse.
So hopefully we've addressed that concern, which has been coming up a lot recently. So I guess it's been getting worse maybe. But really the big stuff is C2E2 coming up the first weekend of April in Chicago. Comics Experience is going to be there, partnered with SourcePoint Press, where we are launching the four inaugural titles amongst our publishing deal. So that's very, very exciting. Achilles Inc. is four issues. All four issues will be there. I wrote that one, but so I'll be there. We'll be doing signings. The Family Graves, both writer and artist, Tim Bach and Brian Atkins are going to be there. They're going to be doing signings. Wretched Things, new trade paperback, both Devin Wong and Ken Perry, the writer and artist of that, are going to be there doing signings. And Grief, which is an anthology book, single issue by Frank Gogol and a myriad of artists. Frank is going to be there. We're all going to be there with the SourcePoint guys and signing stuff. And we've got panels. Including a panel on the publishing program and how, if this is a desire of yours, if getting published is part of the journey you want to have with comics, and you're in Chicago, come to that panel, because we're going to talk very honestly and very openly about what it takes and what our publishing program is all about, which is focused on new talent, new creators, developing that talent, developing your story skills, your storytelling skills, and getting your names and your projects out into the world.
That is an excellent lineup of panels and plenty to see. And once again, I know there will be square pizza. So there's deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza. Yeah.
Not sure where square came from.
We're doing a panel on writing for comics that Tom King is going to be on, which is pretty exciting. I don't actually know Tom, but I'm really looking forward to meeting him.
I met him a couple of years ago at San Diego, and he was still not yet on a lot of comics. He was still with his book.
I did the same. I met him when he was touring just with a novel. I met him twice actually during that time, and he was very nice. I have no reason to believe he's not nice now, but the work he's been doing has been you know, very welcome.
Yeah, great comics from Tom, and a great book if you haven't read. I'm blanking on the title. I can see the book cover. I'm doing a terrible
vision.
No, his prose book that I'm completely.
Oh, the Once Crowded Sky.
Once Crowded Sky. Thank you.
Yeah,
I could not pull it. Yeah, great prose book too. If you want to look at some of Tom King's early work, that's not comics. Yeah, that's a great lineup for panels, and I'm sure we'll prompt lots of future conversations. Well, if you have a question or topic you'd like covered on the podcast, email comicsexperience email info@comicsexperience.com, and you can tweet Comic Experience on Twitter, and we will happily talk about it here on the show. And until next time, keep making comics.